I'm so glad you guys are here tonight. I just imagine that first Christmas, you know, those days right before the first Christmas where Adam from the Bible said, "Merry Christmas, Eve." And you know, like then it evolved, like it's come a long way, and now you have this giant, you know, jolly elf named Santa Claus, flies all over the world, sleigh, reindeer, lands on houses, goes down chimneys. I can't imagine how he's going to get down my chimney. I don't even have like a real chimney. Looks like a chimney, but it's got like a fake, like smaller pipe inside. And I've heard that Santa Claus is claustrophobic. Oh, I got dad jokes. I got dad jokes tonight. And, you know, I mean, he might be able to fit in normal chimneys if he didn't eat cookies all year round, but apparently he has low elf esteem, so it's all he does. I got dad jokes, my friends. You know why? Because I'm a dad. Oh, I'm a dad, and it's like there's something that happened to me when I became a father that gave me a sense of purpose that I've never experienced in my life. Just this idea that what I'm supposed to do and who I'm supposed to be and the purpose for my life became their life. The purpose for what I do became to help them, to share with them, to give to them, to, if I got to know dad jokes, I'm knowing dad jokes just to connect with these ding-dongs. I mean, that's what it's all about, right? Your kids kind of give you purpose. Where do we put the money? Well, there's the answer. What do we do with our time? There's the answer. And you just go after them, right? Because as parents, you know, there's something that happens with a parent and their kids when you have these little offspring that, you know, they look like you. And, you know, they bear your image. And so you do, right? You just go after them. They become why? They become your purpose. And, of course, God has more for me than just being a father. But there's nothing in my life that has given me more clarity around what I'm supposed to do at certain times and ways than those three right there. And I believe that as a human being, that experience is some type of imprint, it's some type of grid, it's some type of shadow, if you will, that is leading towards something greater that lies within all of us and ultimately is a result of a relationship with God and being created in the image of God. And so tonight what I want to explore is the purpose. We've talked about what happened, and now I just want to start to open the lid on this wonderful truth and idea and galaxy, if you will, of why Jesus was born. The purpose of the birth. Why did it happen? Why are we here celebrating the birth of a baby that was born 2,000 years ago? And I found it so amazing. As I was getting ready for this night, months ago, I was reading a book on God and how he became a king and the gospel stories and how we usually talk about the end and the beginning, but the middle part is really about God revealing and Jesus communicating that he's a king. And the authors of the New Testament trying to show us that the middle parts matter just as much as the beginning and the end. But as we looked at the end in one of the passages, I was reading this part about Jesus' trial. And while he's standing trial, Pilate asks him if he is a king. And Jesus answers him with the answer to this question. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth." I read that, I went, Jesus just told us the whole picture of Christmas during the Easter story. He just took the beginning of the story and he brought it to the end. And when he did that, he brought so much more meaning to the beginning. And so Jesus is born and he's born with this purpose. And Jesus says, "The reason I was born is to testify to the truth." And if you're like me, you read that and you go, okay, well then what is truth? And that's exactly what Pilate said. Jesus said, "I was born. You say that I'm a king? I was born for this. I was born to testify to the truth." And Pilate says, "What is truth? What is truth?" like any one of us might ask, what is truth? One of the beautiful things about Jesus saying that I was born for this to bring truth is he's making a commentary on what he's about to do in the world. And he's basically saying, I'm a king and my weapon is truth. Your weapon is a sword. Your weapon is a horse. Your weapon is a chariot. Your weapon is an army. Your weapon is iron. My weapon is truth. And I'm going to overcome the world with truth. I'm going to win with truth. And so Pilate asking what truth is like a kingdom of truth? I only know a kingdom of domination, power, might, fight. That's all I know a kingdom about. You being about truth? What is truth? What's the power in that? What does that do? How does that win? What does that bring? And so to look closer, what Jesus is saying ultimately is that to testify to the truth, the word truth, the idea of truth here is that it's simply this. I was born to bring heaven to earth. That's what truth is. I was born to take what you know as earth and bring the truth into it. You see, ultimately, earth, according to kind of the narrative and the scriptures and this whole revelation that we have, is like a puzzle. You know the puzzle that you're going to do over Christmas? You've got the puzzle and you got the box and you have the picture. You have this picture of where you're headed. And when Jesus made the earth, God and Jesus and Spirit made earth, they made this beautiful idea, this picture, this image. And then pieces got broken out. Sin, death, deception. All this brokenness, this heartache, this grief was added in, and therefore those pieces fell out. And so now all of us, in some way, or shape, or form, we experience a piece of what God's picture for life is, but it's got all these missing pieces, and it's painful for us to experience that. And what Jesus is saying is, I was born to bring the missing piece to your puzzle. I'm the Prince of Peace. I came to bring the truth, and I came to bring the pieces that will give you the peace that you need. I came to add it all in. You don't see the world the way that I made it to be. You see it with these broken pieces. So wherever there's a lie, there's an empty piece. Wherever there's death, there's an empty peace. Wherever there's brokenness, there's an empty peace. And we all look at that. And every one of us experience that. Whatever heartache you're going through, whatever pain you're experiencing right now, what that is there's a puzzle and there's these missing pieces. And what Jesus is saying is that I came to bring truth in the mix of those lies. I came to bring clarity. I came to bring vision. I came to bring my vision to that. Like sitting at the optometrist. Is it right? Right better, left better? Right better, left better? Clearer, 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 clearer. Ah, 20/20. Jesus says, I'm here to introduce truth. As you get to know me, and as I become prevalent, prevailing, moving through you, truth will start to move its way around the world. You see, this is something that God does with us as his children, and it's something that we all do. This is the easiest way, I think, to get this picture. This is something that you do with your friends. You do this with your kids. You do this with your spouse. You do this with your employees, your employer, whatever it is. You have these interactions all the time where someone has a picture. It may not be the whole picture, but it's a picture. It's a project. It's a thing. It's a relationship. It's something. There's something, and they talk about it, and they say something, and you go, ooh, that's not true. And so you go, ooh, you know what? You're missing a piece of the truth. Here's a piece. This will enhance. See, that's what leadership is. It's defining reality. You're missing part of reality. You need truth. Jesus is saying, ooh, you're missing something. We do this with our kids. I do this with my kids all the time, especially little kids. They're experiencing the world. They're missing something. There's lies that they're getting told and these beliefs and this stuff that they're going through. And they come in and I go, oh, that's not true. Let me give you the truth. Let me fill in that puzzle. Let me give you the bigger picture. This happened this summer with Jet, the second one, that guy. He came running in, had some kind of altercation in the neighborhood. You know how these kids do, these six-year-olds. They altercate, they wreak havoc on one another. He came running in literally just so angry and so hurt, tears streaming down his face. Jet, what's going on? What's wrong? What's going on? He said, it was so cute and sad, but mainly sad, kind of cute, depends. He goes, they make me feel like I don't have a family. oh. I was like, Jet, they're right. No. It's a dark joke. No, Jet, I said, that, what? They make you feel like you have a family. I'm so sorry. They make you feel like you don't have a family because they're teasing you. That's a lie. You do have a family. We're here. This is your family. Just because you're experiencing like you don't have a family over here, that doesn't mean it's true. Just because of the world is sending you a message, just because your picture of what it is starting to feel broken, here's the truth. This is what Jesus is doing. This is what the birth of Jesus. I came to bring clarity to your confusion. I came to bring vision to this broken place. And ultimately, this idea of truth, it lives in this first piece that he talks about at the end of his life, which is the same thing that is talked about at the beginning. When Jesus is born, a bunch of people, men that study kingdoms, astrology, they show up after a 1,600-mile trip to find a king, the Magi, the we three kings. Well, all the way at the end, Jesus is saying, I'm a king. Pilate asked him, you asked him if I'm a king? I'm a king, and the reason I'm a king, I came to do this different type of kingdom. That's the truth. But the first truth that every person has to wrestle with that gives us kind of the full view is that Jesus, whether you know it or not, is the king. He's the king. Whether you believe that or not doesn't make it true. Obviously, Pilate didn't believe it. Obviously, the religious leaders didn't believe it. Many people don't believe that Jesus is king. But the scriptures teach that Jesus is the king. And whether or not you believe in him, it says that one day every single person, every person will bow. Every knee will bow. Why? Before the king. Everyone's going to bow down to the king. So some of us can choose to do that now, and some of us can be forced down. But everyone will recognize him as king. You know, the scriptures are actually trying to tell us all that Jesus is the king. It's one of the primary messages of the entire New Testament. The four gospels, one of them is called Luke, the life of Jesus. Luke also wrote Acts, the beginning of the church. In Luke, at the beginning, tells about the beginning of Jesus' life in the context and kings and what kings were about when Jesus was born. Luke starts off Luke chapter 2 with the Christmas story, saying something about kings that we often miss. It says this: in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. You and I hear that and we go, well, that's Christmas. That's how it started. That's why Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem, because they had to go register. But what this means to the authors, and then what this means to those that were reading it at first and understood, this was the king of the world at the time trying to keep tabs on his servants, on his slaves. A Jewish community that doesn't want anything to do with Rome is being told they have to go and have their name be put on a piece of paper to be counted as part of what? The Roman Empire. This was like saying we're in bondage. The author is trying to say to you, when Jesus showed up, the world believed that Caesar was the king. And then the whole thing moves. Jesus grows up, and he has this amazing life, and he has this amazing death, and he has this triumphant resurrection. And then the church starts, and it starts to explode out of Jerusalem, and it moves across the world at the time, all the way to the center of the kingdom that existed when Jesus was born. And by the time Paul, who was one of the people responsible for starting the church, by the time he reaches Rome, he is on the kingdom at that time's doorstep with a new kingdom announcement. The very beginning of his message is Jesus was born, someone else is the king. The very end of his message is now this kingdom has grown all the way to Rome, and Paul is there, the last chapter, the last verse of the last chapter of the New Testament narrative for the growth of the church through Jesus Christ is this. Paul is in Rome, knocking on the door, preaching about Jesus. He proclaimed what? The kingdom of God, and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. When we start, the kingdom is pressing down on people. as it's moving out in the text now, the kingdom of Jesus is growing and wrapping its truth around the world. You see, the thing about this king that's so amazing, whether you believe he's the king or not, is he's the best kind of king you could possibly imagine, because he's not just any type of king. He's not just about global domination. This is a king that's profoundly different. He's a king all about people. Where most kings are all about getting people just to have them as servants, as subjects, this king is all about getting people to help them and serve them and build them and give them something. You see, at the trial of Jesus, this insight into the heart of this King Jesus is brought out in terms of what he's about and what type of king he'll be. When the religious leaders bring Jesus to the trial, they say at the trial, they scream out, "Crucify Jesus, we have no king but Caesar." Bone chilling that the people of Israel are actually using the king of Rome to motivate Pilate to murder Jesus. This guy's a king, we're your king, crucify him, he's a threat, crucify Jesus. We want your king because we don't want him. Then they take it further and they lie about him. They say, you know, we have no king but Caesar, and by the way, this guy who calls himself a king, he's telling everyone not to pay taxes to Caesar. Come on, man, what other motivation do you need? He's a threat. He's stealing from you. Get this guy murdered. As soon as that's said, it's like if you know the scriptures, there's this moment that happens where Jesus is actually asked whether or not to pay taxes. And what they're saying at the trial is a lie. In Matthew, there's this whole record of this conversation. It goes on record what he said when he was asked about taxes. You know the story if you grew up in church. They come, they say, "Jesus, should we pay taxes?" Jesus says, "Bring me a coin. Bring me one of the coins." He asks them, "Whose image is on the coin?" "Caesar's," they replied. And then he said to them, "So give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." Now, most of us good red-blooded Americans have used this as a reason why we have to pay our taxes. I come bearing good news of great joy. This verse is not about you having to pay taxes. Can I get an amen? But there's other verses that are actually about that, so you do need to pay your taxes. Sorry. It's just, this isn't the one telling you that. This is actually, couldn't be more different. What Jesus is saying is, oh, we're in a kingdom. Caesar's the king. Give me his coin. Whose picture's on the coin? They go, "Caesar's." There it is. Oh, okay. Here's the deal. Kings collect their images. So go ahead and give Caesar his coins. Go ahead and give Caesar his taxes. Go ahead and give him back the image of himself. Go ahead and do it. And by the way, if you're going to give that king his image, then I guess while I'm at it, I'll take mine. And he says, "I came to collect images too. And my image is you. My image is you. You're my kid. You're my kids. You're made in my image. We made you to look like us." It was beautiful. It was a beautiful picture. Death, lies, deceit broke the picture down. I'm here to come back for you. I came to get my kids back. You see, when sin and death and brokenness entered in and we all picked it, we all picked a different God. We picked ourselves. We turned ourselves away from God. We left God's house. We left his family. Jesus was born to get his kids back in his family. He was born to get his image back. Kings collect their images. If you didn't pay taxes in Rome, Rome showed up at your door, knocking on the door. "Hey, pay up. It's time to pay up." Well, in the kingdom of God, guess who's knocking on your door? Jesus! Sorry. He comes knocking on your door, saying, "I'm back for you. You're my image bearer. I want you in my house. I want you in my family. You are my purpose." You want dad jokes? Knock, knock. Knock, knock. I don't have a knock, knock joke. I think I have a decent other joke. My kids have all these jokes. You guys, someone back, I hear them talking back there. Don't say the joke. Something about the, what does the hot dog say when it wins the race? I'm the wiener. Sorry. Jesus, where are we going? Where are we going? Jesus comes back knocking on the door for his images. And the beautiful part about this is we all constantly believe that a relationship with God is based upon what we have to pay, not unlike taxes. What do I have to give? What rules do I have to follow? What do I have to do in order to make this relationship okay? The reality is that your relationship with God is just intrinsic. At first, you're made in his image, and restoring it back to the way it needs to be requires nothing of you. You don't have to pay for it. So Jesus comes knocking on your door saying, I come to collect my image back. I want my image. Kings collect their image. I'm here for you. You look like me. I look like you. You're my kid. I want you in my house. And by the way, you don't have to pay for those sins. You don't have to pay for this brokenness. You don't have to pay for this death. I will pay for you. And Jesus dies on a cross, pays the penalty of sin, defeats death with death, triumphs over death with resurrection, which is your direction when you follow Jesus. And so now we all walk in the beautiful train that is being in the family of God. You're a king? Yes, I'm a king. I was born for this. I was born to testify to the truth, and here's the truth. I'm a king about people, and I am a king who was born to buy my images back. It's amazing when this truth clicks. It's amazing when someone seeking God, understanding family, understanding what God's doing, understanding that God loves them, it's amazing to watch it click. And we get the profound opportunity to have a front row seat to watch people in this church give their lives back to Christ. As just kind of watch God collecting pennies from heaven. And every time it rains, you thought it was just for fun. He's collecting you. You're his image. We get to watch it. Every year there's amazing stories. We baptized over 30 people last month in this church that gave their lives back to Christ. Merry Christmas. It's the greatest thing that can happen in someone's life is surrender to their king. And so every year, you know, I look back and there's a story of this happening that is so amazing. A guy named Brad Morris sent me a note on Facebook. He said, hey man, I have all these questions about moral law, the divinity of Christ, the existence of God. All these pieces to his puzzle were missing. He said, could you help me? So I said, I'll do everything I can. I met with him and I gave him like the skinny on moral law and, you know, the divinity of Jesus and God and his existence. And I gave him kind of Reader's Digest version, the Joel Kovacs version, take it or leave it. And I said, look, man, if you want to like dive into this and get these pieces figured out more, you're going to have to go seek out some people who are experts on this. And there's none better than Ravi Zacharias, who is a teacher. And all he does is travel the world and teach about moral law and the existence of God and the divinity of Christ. And he's a brilliant thinker. He has over 30 honorary doctorates. He's amazing. This is what he does. I said, you should go seek out the truth and look for him on YouTube. And he goes, Ravi Zacharias? I said, yeah. He goes, that's what he does? I said, yeah, that's like, you've heard of him? He goes, yeah, he's my brother-in-law's uncle. No, seriously, this guy is world-renowned, known. He goes, he's my brother-in-law's uncle. I go, your brother-in-law's uncle is Ravi Zacharias? He goes, yeah. He pulls out his phone. He goes, is this him? He has a picture with him. I'm like, that guy, I'm leaving. You're paying for lunch. Well, I have nothing else to offer you. So Brad's like, okay, all right. He goes, he starts, he could call him, he YouTubes him. The pieces start to fill in, the picture gets clearer, the truth is happening, and God reveals himself in such a way that he gives his life to Christ. Brad Morris says, Jesus, I want to worship you. He goes from atheist to theist, follower of Jesus Christ in about a month. That's amazing. I called him this week. I said, look, I'm going to share your story. This is one of the greatest stories of truth I've ever heard. Just this, all of it's amazing. Would you send a note to our church about what this year has meant to you? And he wrote this to me 2 days ago. This is from Brad. This year has been an extremely educational and fulfilling year in terms of my faith. God has brought me closer to my wife, kids, family, and church. Ultimately, I've realized that Christ has been in my life all along. It just took 34 years for me to figure it out. I'm extremely grateful for my wife supporting me in this journey and for Joel taking the time for, as he referred to it, an awkward lunch discussing moral law. I didn't think it was that bad, but whatever, Brad. At the end of the day, there were too many signs in my life pointing towards a faith in Christianity, and it was time for me to jump in. And he did jump in, and in fact, a month ago, he was baptized right here. That's amazing! And he seeks after the truth, the purpose of the birth of Christ. I mean, the whole thing, it's all right there. Brad was seeking it, God filled it in. This is the purpose of Christmas. And the best part is what God does in families. And he gets baptized, and right out here afterwards, his wife comes up, grabs my arm, tears in her eyes. Joel, I just got to tell you, thank you. This church has changed my life. It's changed our marriage. It's changed our family. It is what we've been looking for. You guys, this is real. This is real. If you're living in that grief, if you're living in that tension, if you're living in that pain, if there's something that you don't get, you're fighting, you're pushing through, you want to know more, I promise you, you just don't have these pieces to your puzzle, and only Jesus can fill them in the way they're supposed to be filled in. Only he can. When you seek him, it's like, what in the world? This, that, really? That's what, there's the picture. Peace. So if you don't know Christ, you need to give your life to Christ tonight. You need to. When this starts to take over your life, you start looking all around you. You go, oh, that person doesn't know Jesus? I mean, God came to get them there. You think, God's heart is breaking for that person. That person needs Jesus. Like, I got this guy that walks down 62. His name is Mario. And it was 30 degrees out. He was wearing no coat. He doesn't have a car. It broke down. I mean, I stop by every time I see him. He looks at me. I said, get in my car. I'll take you. He just wanted to get beer and cigarettes. I said, Mario, get in the car. I don't trust people. Just stone cold heart. I don't trust people. Big rip in his jeans, no coat. It was freezing. Mario, you can trust me. My heart's breaking for Mario because I'm like, that's God's kid. That's God's kid. That's an image-bearing human being that God is desperate for. Every one of us, man, we're walking around broken pieces, broken puzzles. We need God to fill in the gaps. And that's why we're here. That's Christmas. He was born for this. He was born to get you back. So just let him take you back. He's desperate. Let me say a prayer for you. And if you've never received Christ, just close your eyes and just pray. Just pray out to God. Just in your heart, just pray out. Just, God, I want you to take over my life. I want your truth. I want to follow you. I want to know you. Just say, forgive me of my sins. I receive the gift of eternal life right now, today, right in this moment. I love you. Thank you for loving me. just invite him in. Just say, I believe. I believe in you. God, we thank you so much for the gift of life presented in a baby and in an image that we can hear and understand. Thank you for becoming like us so you could tell us that we are with you and you want us with you. We thank you for Christmas. Help us all to have a burden for people the way that you have a burden for us. In Jesus' name, amen. This is our last service. Thank you guys for being here. We're going to pass buckets for giving. Thank you for being so generous to 514 Church. Thank you to all the members of 514 Church who have given so generously this year. It's incredible what you've done already. If you're visiting, 514 Church is an extremely generous church. This church has given millions of dollars over the past 3.5 years. It's incredible what they've done. Thank you for being a part of us. Thank you for worshiping with us. We're so glad you're here. Quick reminder, we have no church on the 30th. We take it off. We're starting a new series January 6th called Virtue Reality. And really what it is it's the next phase from this message today. When you embrace Christ and he saves you and he buys you back, then he has this new horizon for you of how you're supposed to be, what you're supposed to transform into, and experiencing all that he has. And we're going to talk about what faith really looks like at the very beginning of 2019. Wow. And the coolest thing that's happened in the past couple of months, something that our church has been working on for 3.5 years as we've developed generosity and we've given to this church, is our church recently just announced that we secured the financing to start construction on our new home. This huge announcement. And so we have officially started construction. Walls are being made. And we are going to see over on our property off of Hamilton Road, dirt moving, walls going up in the next couple of months. Again, Merry Christmas. Thank you to everyone who has been a part of this part of our church. It's exciting what's going to happen in the next year as this project gets completed. And with that, I just want to invite all of us to close the night out, to stand and sing Silent Night together. I'm going to have Lori and Lopez come out here before you. We sing, take a minute, greet someone, hug someone. We're all part of the family, and then we'll sing Silent Night. Hi, Mike. Lopez got a lot smaller and different color. If you pray to receive Christ, there's these clipboards underneath your chairs. Take a minute and fill that out. Give us your name and number and write in there that you prayed tonight. You prayed to receive Christ. There's other stuff on there that we could help you with if you need. Fill it out. Leave it on your chair. We'll find it. Thank you guys so much for being here. Before you leave, go out and do the photo booth. It's right behind me by the main doors. It's really cool. You just text the photos to yourself. A lot of fun. Do a family picture. Hashtag 514 Christmas. Guys, that's it. I'm going to do one thing. One thing for us. I know this is just your service, but this is our fourth service. It's been full every time. We work on this service for 4 months. I could thank so many people. I could thank Kevin and Carmen and John and Wes, and there's so many people, but there's a person that makes all of this happen, and his name is Ryan Donovan. He's right there. So, Ryan has been doing production stuff with me as his leader since 2004. So we're getting better, Ryan. We're getting better. You're amazing. This wouldn't happen without you. Merry Christmas. We all thank you for this. You're behind the scenes. To everyone else, Merry Christmas. Don't you know it, crocodile? You find your fortune falling. All over town, all over town, all over town. Be sure that your umbrella is upside down and we live up.